Good evening, a good afternoon. Once again, happy to be here. Another evening, another service. Thankful for God's grace this morning at our mission. We had a wonderful service, wonderful Sunday school hour, a wonderful time. Now we have a bus ministry, so we was able to pick up a family to bring them to church. So we're thankful to God for his riches and his grace. It has been a long week, to say the least, but it has been a joy. It was a joy to really meditate on 1 Samuel on Thursday. I don't want Ichabod. I'm truly always reminded I do not want to be like Eli from that message. Just God is gracious, and I pray he's gracious to us to not see Ichabod in our homes, in our churches. And then it was a blessing to remember the cross, remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. He was there for us. And then it was a joy to be reminded of the resurrection. I know we say every Sunday is a day to celebrate the resurrection, but honestly, we do not celebrate it enough. But God is gracious to remind us that he is alive. He's not dead. He's alive. And this afternoon, we'll be looking at the end times. I felt like every song the brother was singing, and then the brother got up here, read Revelation 21. I said, Lord, you gave me the right one. He is sovereign. Tonight, we'll be looking at Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. But we also look at so many other passages. The title of our message today is Save the Date, Bride of Christ. Save the Date. Let us read. If you would again, stand with me in honor of God's word. For he is speaking. That's our prayer. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again. Thank you for and your blessings today. I pray, thank you, Lord, for Brother Howe and his ministry and him sharing and preaching this morning. Lord, I pray that your hand was on that message, and I know that your hand was with it because it's your word, Lord, that we preach. And I pray that the seeds that he planted will be rooted deeply into the hearts of your people. Lord, I pray today, Lord, I am weary. I'm tired. I can feel the tiredness from my children. I thank you for a busy week. I thank God that I'm busy with your work, Lord. I could be busy with the devil's work, but as long as I'm busy on your work, I know I'm not busy doing what the devil wants me to do. So I thank you for a busy week, Lord, but this flesh grows weary. This flesh grows weak. Oh, Lord, my wife, I pray that you go with her this hour. I thank God. I thank you, Lord, for why she is sick. But, Lord, I feel like a part of me is missing when she's not here. I pray that you go with her in this hour. Bless her, Lord. Touch her. Lord, I pray that you go with each and every last one of us now as we fix our eyes on your word. Lord, feed us. Nourish our minds. Nourish our hearts. Revive our hearts, Lord. Revive our minds. Lord, let us look forward with joy to that glorious day when you come, when we sit down at the marriage feast of the Lamb and enjoy a sweet rest. Because we put our faith in you, we enjoy that everlasting rest. Bless us, Lord, this afternoon. Give me the words to speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And Lord, bless your people. Give them eyes to see, ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The title of our message this afternoon is Save the Date, Bride of Christ. Save the Date. You know, when you receive a marriage invitation, a wedding invitation, it's always save this date. It's an invitation to remind you that you would remember that their wedding is going to be on June 21st, 2021. Oh, I tell you this afternoon, God loves marriage the most. Marriage was the first gift to man. It was the first place Jesus showed he was God, was at a marriage, where he did his first miracle, turning water into wine. And it will be the last event of this awesome age that we live in, this age of grace. The Bible begins with a marriage. It ends with a marriage. The consummation will soon take place. Praise the Lord. The consummation will soon take place. And Jesus and his church will be completely and fully married. No more idols in the way. No more cheating of the bride. No more falling short of the glory. One day soon, we will stand with our Lord and enjoy his everlasting presence forever. First point this afternoon, the forgotten date. Child of God, I can tell you with all the surety, we are forgetting Jesus is coming back. We're forgetting what the meaning of marriage is truly all about. And I'm not talking about homosexuality here. I'm talking about the meaning of marriage, what marriage is pointing towards. Each and every last marriage is pointing towards the greater marriage, Jesus and his bride. We're forgetting he is coming back and he has a day appointed that he will forever be with her. I have heard many Christians say they don't think Jesus is coming back in this age, in our generation, in our time. Oh, we have all been guilty of this. It may not be with our lips that we forget that he's coming back, but it has surely been with our lives. The Bible tells us, do not forsake the assembly of one another, for the day is drawing near. The day is drawing near. We have seen it today. We are becoming farther and farther apart as his people, as his bride. Jesus warns us the day is coming back. The day is coming when the love of many will grow cold. Churches, even in the book of Revelation, had already forgotten their first love. Oh, I tell you today, we are not above forgetfulness. As I spoke on last night, one of the greatest sins that leads to most sins is forgetfulness. Living a forgetful life has always ruined God's people. Eve forgot not to touch the fruit. What happened? It ruined all mankind. She deceived her husband. She gave to her husband, excuse me. And Adam forgot not to eat the fruit. What did he do? He ate it. Now we're forever cursed, under a curse, until we put our faith in Christ. Abraham forgot God's promise. And guess what he did? He went in to Hagar. What mess has come from that? Israel forgot the God that delivered them from Egypt. In just 40 days, they forgot. What did they do? They made a golden calf and worshiped it. Moses forgot not to hit the rock. That's a warning to all preachers. Do not hit the rock. God didn't say hit the rock. He said talk to the rock. Speak to the rock. Don't hit the rock. What did Moses do? Israel forgot who the king of Israel was. What did they do? They chose Saul. It was always a king in Israel. They just forgot who that king was. Uzzah, he forgot God was holy and to not place his hand on the ark. Leviticus made that plain. What did he do? Put his hand on the ark. What did that lead to? His death. David forgot to count his blessings. What did he do? He looked unto Bathsheba, and he had Bathsheba come into his chambers. Israel forgot to trust God, and they became slaves in Babylon. The Pharisees forgot the heart of God, the word of God, and they became legalistic haters of the Son of God. That's what happens when you forget God. You become self-righteous. You forget that. You forget where you come from, as people say. That boy has forgotten where he has come from. They became legalistic. They became self-righteous, and they hated the Son of God. Jesus tells us, it's only fools who forget their marriage is coming. What did he give us? A parable. Five foolish virgins, five wise virgins. He called them foolish for a reason. Why was they foolish? Because they forgot the oil for their candles and they missed the bridegroom. This is a warning for us. And I'm afraid we can easily become fools and join those five foolish virgins. We are forgetting Jesus is coming, because we are failing to prepare for his coming. We're not just to sit back on a pew and wait for him to rapture us out of here. No, we are to prepare. This verse that I read said that his bride made herself ready. She readied herself for his coming. James 5, verse 8 says, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the Lord, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I tell you today, we may forget. We may have already forgotten. But praise the Lord, Jesus hasn't. Though many have forgotten the date, like a husband who forgets his anniversary, or wife. I don't want to be mean to the man here, but we often forget our anniversaries. Jesus has not. He is ready. Let me give you four ways this morning real fast that the way he is ready. Jesus is ready for the date. Listen to the verse. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. Jesus is ready. He is truly the most prepared bridegroom in history. From all eternity, he's looked forward with excitement, with joy, and with love to this great feast. Jesus has always, he's been ready ever since he said it is finished. Three, four ways. He's ready to celebrate. This marriage supper is a celebration, but a celebration of what? It's a celebration of the Lamb, of the Lamb. To celebrate with his bride, he wants to celebrate his passion. Remember last night I said the passion, his passion. He wants to celebrate his cross. Even at this point, he still wants to be known as the Lamb of God, even in the end days. We could assume at this time in Revelations, he would throw off the name Lamb. At this time, when he's destroying all his enemies, literally, Jesus at the marriage, he's dressed in the garment of blood. He's wiping out, in Revelation 18, he's wiping out all his enemies. Nevertheless, he still wants to be remembered as the Lamb of God. His wrath is on full display, but he wants to remember. He wants us to remember. This is the celebration. What brought him the greatest joy? What brought him the greatest satisfaction was he died on the cross for his people. Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's ready today. He's ready to celebrate his greatest, most passionate accomplishment. the cross. He's ready to celebrate the Lamb. He's ready to celebrate the cross. Second, he's ready to commune. Jesus is present at this marriage feast. He's face to face with his bride. In his earthly life, Jesus left heaven, left his Father to attach himself to us, his people, to commune with us. Ephesians 5:31 says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Jesus' first advent, he communed with humans who would not receive him. But on his second advent, he will commune with his bride alone with no enemies in sight. This will be a time where he comes to be with his bride. Jesus greatly desires this day. Psalm 45 speaks of this. Psalm 45, verse 11. "So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him." He greatly desires to see his church beauty. Oh, God desires us. Psalm of Solomon 2:10 says, "My beloved spake, and he said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Jesus is longing for this day to commune with his people. Oh, these are the words of Christ. He is ready to receive us. He prayed this in his high priestly prayer, John 17, verse 24. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." He's ready to commune today. My question is, are you? Are you ready to commune with him? Thirdly, he's ready to conquer. A marriage truly represents victory. When I got married to my wife on that wonderful, beautiful day, I miss her. I'm used to looking over here, seeing her. As I stood at the end of the aisle, I stood there. And I could just pride. I have won. I've conquered her heart. She is mine. Jesus, I'm telling you today, Jesus has won his enemies. His enemies. We were his enemies. He's won us. By the cross, he's won us. He's conquered. He's ready today because he's already conquered his enemies. He's won our hearts. Spurgeon said it best. Christ is the true champion of his church. He won his enemies to become his wife. What victory! Us who have hated him, us who could care less about him. 19 years of my life, I could care less about Jesus. But he has won. He's won my heart with his love. He's the victor. When he conquered his enemy on the cross, Hebrews 2:14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." That's Jesus. He became flesh and blood. "That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death." That is the devil. He's the conqueror because he defeated the number one enemy of his people, the devil. He won us. He won us. When he conquered on the cross, he won us. He overcame our animosity. Romans 5:8-10. "But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." He's overcame my animosity. I know some marriage couples, they could testify about how they had to win over their wife. Their wife would say, "I couldn't stand him when I first met him in high school or junior high. I could not stand that little big-haired boy. But now I love him." That's what Jesus, the sense of pride he's going to have that day. We couldn't stand him. We wanted our own way. We wanted our own desires. But he's going to stand there that day, and he's going to say, I conquered your animosity. I won over your hatred. You are mine. He conquered our fears on the cross. Jesus' love is our stronghold, our defense, our mighty fortress. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Jesus is going to conquer our fears. Oh, he has conquered our fears, excuse me, with his perfect love. Then he conquered our sins. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the conqueror of our sins. He's omnipotent. He's omnipotent. He's omnipotent. He reigns. God is love, and charity never faileth. When he was a lamb, he conquered. He is ready because he has won. Fourthly, he's ready to construct. We just talked about conquering. We talked about communion. He's ready to construct. He is ready because the place will be built. Remember what he said to the disciples? He said, let me read the verse, John 14:1-3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. At that date, the place Jesus left to go build will be built. The building will be over. This blows my mind. I mean, our bridegroom is a carpenter. God has all power in his tongue. He spoke and everything became here. He made everything out of nothing. He can speak life. Lazarus, come forth. It's over. It's there. But he uses the word, I go to prepare. What kind of place is this going to be? He said, I go to prepare. And he's preparing for a long time. This is going to be a wonder of wonders. Like Queen of Sheba, when she came to see Solomon's temple, the Bible says in 1 Kings 10, she had no spirit left in her. We are going to be, it's going to be a jaw-dropping experience the day we see the place he has prepared for us. Oh, we will be speechless. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says it, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, what a feast. What a construction. What a house. What a savior. The husband is ready. Now I lead to our question today. Are you? Are you ready? Prepare for the date. A second point. Look at our verse, our main verse, verse 7. It says, Revelation 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife have made herself ready. Jesus is ready. We need to get ready. Amos says it, prepare to meet your Lord. How do we prepare? Five ways. First thing we prepare is our hearts. The greatest question any bride must ask herself, and any bridegroom, is, am I ready to be married? That's the greatest question any young couple, any young person who wants to get married should ask themselves, am I ready to be married? My question to you today, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Prepare your heart. We need to have a new heart. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, you need a new heart. Is your heart his and his heart yours? In chapter 18, Jesus, in chapter 18 and 19, we have two women set before us. The whore of Babylon, the bride of Christ. Who has your heart? The world or Jesus? God is calling you out from the world. Revelation 18, verse 4 and 5. It says it this way, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God have remembered her iniquities. And today he's calling you, you who are lost, you who have no heart for the Lord, you who do not know him as your personal Lord and Savior, he's calling you to come out. He doesn't want you to take part in the plagues that is coming on this country, that's coming on this world. The wrath that is coming. No, he's calling all men to repent. Come out. Come to Jesus. Oh, there's three hallelujahs here in that chapter. In Revelation 19, it says, Revelation 19, verse 6, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Have you submitted yourself to Jesus? Does he reign over your life? Or does the gold and pleasures of this world still reign in your hearts? Have you had the divorce you so much need? Every human needs one divorce. A separation from the world. You need to fill out the paperwork. You need to let go. You need to say, this is over. I am his. He is mine. You need to have a divorce from the world, a turning away, repentance, a turning away from the world and trust, faith in Christ. Have you submitted your divorce papers today? As Rebecca's family asked her when Isaac, the servant of Abraham, came to get Rebecca. They asked her one question, will thou go with this man? She replied, yes, I will go. Will you go with Jesus today? Will you be his? My beloved is mine and I am his. Be blood washed today. Be born again this day. That's the first way to prepare. Give him your heart. Second way, her mind. Her mind. Learn your husband. That's something a wife, a young couple, before they get married, you should learn your wife. Learn your husband. Know the bridegroom today. I'm encouraging you to know him. All marriage couples, usually if they are wise, get to know each other through counseling, through godly counsel. A marriage can avoid a lot of problems. A lot of problems with good, godly counseling. How should we be ready our minds, child of God? How should we ready our minds, bride of Christ? By the godly counseling in God's place. By godly counseling under his word. The preparation period is one of learning as much as possible about the other. We have three services. You have three services here. Four, really. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Three services to learn about God. Four services to learn about Jesus. Learn more about him. We think that's a lot. Like, we think, if I make it to three services, I've done good. The early church met every day. Don't pat yourself too hard on the back. They met every day. Why? They were learning about the Lord. They were excited about the Lord. They believed he could come in any day. But we slouch at three services. Oh, Jesus prayed for us to know him. John 17:3, this is his prayer. He wants us to prepare our minds. He says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do you know everything about God? I don't. I long to know more. I actually started a series in Matthew because I need to know more about my Savior. I need to know more about Jesus, more about him. I know a lot about this heart of mine. I know a lot about the politics. It's everywhere. I know a lot about everything that's going on in this world. But I tell you one thing, we need to know more than anything else. We need to know more about Jesus. Oh, will we be strangers when we meet our bridegroom? Will he be a stranger to us? Will we fully have prepared our minds? I tell you today, gird up the minds, gird up the loins of your mind, tie the belt of your mind, as Peter says. Do you know the true Lamb of God? Not this sissified Jesus of the world, not this culture indifferent Jesus made up by this culture, but the Jesus that hates sinfulness and loves righteousness. The Lamb who will wear the blood of his foe, that would be his suit coat. That would be his clothes on that day. The blood of his foes. He would be a shock to many Christians. The Revelation 19, 18, 20, Jesus, we don't know this Jesus. We like to hear about the love of Jesus. This day, these days, we will see the wrath of Jesus. He will, I believe, he will be a stranger to many. Revelation 19, 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Oh, as much as we love to know about the love of God, we must know all of Jesus, all of God. Make yourself ready by knowing him. Thirdly, she makes herself ready by her words. Show your praise. Our prayer is our praise. There's four hallelujahs in the preceding verses. Verse number one in chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah. Verse number three. And again they said, hallelujah. Verse number four. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. Verse number six, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Oh, a wife that praises her bridegroom at the wedding feast praises her bridegroom before the wedding feast. When a wife gets engaged, she's excited. I don't know any fiance who, before marrying a man, is dogging him out. Maybe after, but not before. They're all excited, all giddy, talking good about that future spouse, talking good about that future husband. Then they get married, they're talking good about their future spouse, talking good about their marriage, their husband. We got to praise God now. If we don't praise God now, how the world are we going to praise him then? We praise the Lord now. We get used to it. The words should be flowing off our lips. Praise to our King. Crown him. Crown him. Hallelujah. Crown him. Psalm 45, verse 1 and 2. This is a picture of the bride and the husband. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Prayer is our communication line to our bridegroom, our love notes, our adoration, our thanksgiving, our sweet songs to our sweet bridegroom. No spouse despises love notes. None. And I tell you today, neither does Jesus. This is how we bless the Lord. We ready ourselves with our words. Fourthly, we ready ourselves. She readied her face. Look at our verse. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Show your joy. After a woman was engaged in Jewish culture, she wore a veil on her face until her marriage day. She wore a veil. Every time she went out, she wore a veil. Everybody knew she was getting married. She was taken. Our veil is one of joy. We need to wear joy on our face. Yes, literally on our face, okay? It's okay for us to smile. We won't crack too much, okay? Smile. We must wear the joy. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Are you excited about Jesus? Were you excited about this revival meeting? Were you excited? I tell you, when I'm excited about something, I tell people about it. When I'm excited about getting married, I'm telling everybody I'm getting married. When I was getting married, I was telling everybody. I was excited. When I'm going somewhere, my kids, they're going to family camp this summer. They tell every kid they run into, we're going to family camp in Idaho. Can't wait. We can't wait. They're excited. Have you lost your excitement, Bride of Christ? Have you lost your excitement for the church, for the word, for the preaching, for prayer, for praise? Have you lost it? If we have, we need to ready ourselves. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is looking to celebrate with those who want to celebrate. Is he coming back for a pouting wife? I'll tell you, if you see a wife that looks like she is not happy to be with somebody, you wonder what's up with that husband. And if the world looks in here and say, what's wrong? They look like they're really depressed, really down. What is wrong with their husband? What's wrong with their Savior? Oh, let us ready ourselves. Let us ready our faces, ready our attitudes for this marriage feast. Ready your face, Bride of Christ. Nehemiah said it, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Wear your joy like he wore his cross. He wore his cross, your cross, with joy. Fifthly, her clothes. Show your righteousness. Verse number 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Of saints. I expect that scripture to say the righteousness of Jesus. No, the righteousness of saints. After the judgment seat of Christ, we will be honored with wearing our own righteousness. Our own righteousness. This is why he died for us, to produce righteousness in us. All of our God-given obedience, yes, it's God-given obedience, in this life will be our wearing, our wedding attire that day. Let me see that, say that again. All of our God-given obedience in this life will be our wedding attire that day. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I met some hyper Calvinists who don't believe that we need to yield ourselves to the Spirit to obey. We don't need to fight to be obedient. Obedience, we can't be obedient. That's God. God will just strike us and give it to us. No. No, God has put a spirit in us to strive, to make ourselves ready, to make ourselves ready for that day to wear our righteousness before our Lord. Obedience is the way to joy. Obedience. God has called us to obey, not to disobey. We don't deserve to be the Bride of Christ. No, we don't. We definitely don't deserve to be honored for the righteousness the Holy Spirit has wrought in us, but God will honor us with our righteousness. Oh, 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul says it this way, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. To say I am ready, I'm pure, I'm spoken for. When the evil one tempts you, you need to tell him I'm spoken for. I have a husband. I'm not going to do what you want me to do, devil. I'm not going to bear the fruits of sin. No, I'm going to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Why? Because I'm spoken for. When the world comes to tell you this is how you need to do life, this is how you need to walk in life, this is how you need to act in life, you need to tell them, I'm spoken for. I have a God who wants me to walk and love him. And how do I love him? It's by keeping his commandments. Oh, when the flesh is beating you down, the flesh just wants to go play. It wants to go be entertained with the world. It wants to have fun. It wants to worship idols. You need to tell your flesh, I'm spoken for. I have a king who wants me to live right before him. Ephesians 4:22-24, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Take off the garments of sin and put on the new clothes of righteousness. Yield yourself, church. Love him. Submit to him as a wife is supposed to submit to her husband. The church is the model for the wife in the marriage. How are we doing? Ready your clothes. Our last point, and I conclude. The date is set. Verse number 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. This is a definite date. No cancellation. Mm-mm. No delays. In God's perfect timing, all of life will be over, and the Lord Jesus and his church will be perfectly united. So what are you in need of tonight? Is it clothes? Is it a new face? Words? A mind? A renewed mind? A new heart. What are you in need of this evening? Don't say to yourself like the church of Revelations. Revelations 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We all need revivals in our hearts. All of us. Every once in a while. More often than we think. So here's our last article of attire to put on. What does a wife put on last? What does a bride put on last? She puts on her shoes. Because she knows they are going to hurt. A husband, you know, we just put lotion on. We're ready. We wake up ready. A wife has to put on a lot of garments. But those shoes are the last ones. A wife putting on her shoes means, it shows she's ready. Let's go down this aisle. Let's get the party started. Oh, a wife putting on her shoes shows her readiness to meet her husband. Happy engaged spouses tell everybody they're getting married. These shoes represent for us our readiness to show off our bridegroom. How beautiful are the feet, right? How beautiful are the feet. I tell you now, if you are saving a date, if you have the ready heart, fully saved, if you are getting your mind, your face, your clothes, you will put on your shoes. How does the book of Revelation end? Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come, come. We need to leave out these doors. If we have truly been revived, we truly are living the resurrected life, we need to leave out these doors and tell the world to come. Come know my wife. Come know my husband. Come know his wife. See, a lot of people think you just come know Jesus, you don't need the church. No. No, Jesus loves his church. If you don't want to see my wife, you don't want to see me. That's how I am as a husband. And Jesus is much more jealous than I am. Come, we need to tell the world, come know our God more at his church with his people. Come. If the Spirit lives in you, you are preaching to the communities around you, to the people around you, come. If you are the bride, you are saying, come. Come know Jesus as your bridegroom. This is our privilege. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Save the date, church. Save the dates. If you're really setting the date, saving the dates, send the invitations out. Tell people, come know our Christ. He's a worthy Savior. He's a worthy husband. He's perfect. He is love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. It's precious to our lips, precious to our ears. Though I fall short, Lord, in truly espousing everything that your word says about that great day, Lord, I am looking forward to it. That day when you come back, that day when we finally enter into that marriage feast to celebrate you, celebrate you, Lord. Help us in this life. Help us celebrate you, Lord. Help us be excited like the world's excited about games, parties, clubs, food, TV, elections, all these different things the world's just so excited about. They're so excited. I pray, Lord, help us. Help us. Rise us out of a state of unbelief. Rise us out of a state of dullness, Lord. Resurrect us to excitement. When we first met you, Lord, we were so excited. It was a honeymoon period, Lord. We were just so giddy. We was telling everybody, come know a man, like the woman at the well. Come know a man. Come know this man. Lord, I pray that you revive our joy. Revive a smile on our face when we talk about how you saved us. Let it be the